One of the greatest obstacles to crafting health and wellness is identifying and controlling inflammation. It's at the core of all complex and chronic diseases. And it's the driving mechanism that underlies the most common symptoms that people like you struggle to overcome. Join us as we explore cutting-edge science and research to give you the information and tools you need to create the quality of life you want and deserve. And now, here is the host of Inflammation Nation, Dr. Stephen Noseworthy.
Hey guys, and welcome back. Today we're going to move on to the next item in our functional hierarchy of health, and that's inflammation and immune balance and control. Now, this is a deep topic, so I'm going to have to break this one up, this section, into subtopics that we'll cover over several different episodes. I'm sure that's probably no surprise to you. I'm also going to do my best to give you the basics and perhaps just a taste of the deeper stuff, just simply because, and to be quite honest, this topic is difficult enough to teach in terms of clinical applications. It's difficult to teach to other doctors. And the only reason that I feel even remotely qualified to speak on this subject is because I've taken the time to learn much more about the immune system than what I was taught in school. Plus, I have several very smart colleagues and mentors who are immunologists by profession and PhDs. So in general, while I am not an immunologist, nor am I a PhD, I do believe I have an above average working knowledge of the immune system, plus a very long history of working with people who have inflammatory conditions, chronic infections, and most of those people have some form of autoimmune reactivity. And let me tell you this, when I when I teach weekend seminars and the topic of the immune system comes up, I often ask the doctors in the class how many of them feel like they got a really good understanding of the immune system with their basic training, whether they were medical doctors or a chiropractor like me or an acupuncturist or a naturopath. And nobody, and I mean nobody, puts their hand up and says, yes, when I graduated, I really truly understood the immune system. And what that means for you is that your average doctor, MD or otherwise, has only the most basic understanding of how the immune system works, how it's organized, how to affect it, how to assess it. And hopefully by the time that I'm done with this part of the series, you'll know maybe at least as much, perhaps a little bit more than your average practicing clinician. So let's start with the most basic question, and that is, what is inflammation? Where does it come from? Why does it matter? Well, if you look up the common definition of inflammation, you're going to see something like this. The wording obviously is going to vary depending on which website you go to, but you'll hear something like it's a defensive response that's governed primarily by the immune system. And that response sends blood cells, typically white blood cells, to an injured or infected area that results in some degree of redness, swelling, or maybe symptoms such as fever. That's a pretty common definition. It's a very top-level view, and it assumes that there are observable signs in a body part, like when you sprain your ankle and it gets red and swollen and hot. It's pretty easy to see, even for other people. But I would guess that most of you are not dealing with inflammation that comes from some kind of injury like a sprained ankle, but inflammation that comes from abnormal metabolic states or other internal issues that have no consistent external sign. So a more practical definition of inflammation for people with chronic health issues would be more like a chemical shift of the immune system where there is the production of inflammatory chemicals, and that is increased above some baseline level. And it can either be localized or it can be systemic. So for example, someone can have an inflamed thyroid, but the rest of their body is not inflamed. Someone can have an inflamed brain, which quite often manifests as common things like brain fog, even depression, yet they're not systemically inflamed. But some people are systemically inflamed. And that, again, doesn't show up as swelling or redness in a body part, but it shows up as things that are widespread or things like widespread and unexplained joint or muscle pain, very common complaints, very generalized or nebulous complaints like fatigue, even unhealthy skin, and there's several more. But these things are not as obvious as a sprained ankle. To be even more clear, and I've spoken about this in other episodes, is that inflammation is generated at a cellular level, either locally in specific tissues or organs, or systemically. And it involves, perhaps requires, a set of triggers. These things can cause certain types of immune cells to make these inflammatory chemicals that we generally refer to as cytokines. And we'll get back to that in a later episode. But let me be clear on one thing. We always talk about inflammation being bad, but as a clinician, and maybe in your own mind, the goal should never be to completely eradicate inflammation. The goal is not zero inflammation. The goal is control of inflammation, but still having some inflammation. Well, why is that? Because inflammation, quite honestly, is essential to life. It's a key function of the immune system that lets us fend off foreign invaders like infections. It helps us to heal injuries like that sprained ankle, and it even plays a role in our ability to make things like antioxidants. So maybe we shouldn't think of inflammation itself as bad, but understand that it's necessary. We need a baseline of these inflammatory chemicals in our bodies. We need to be able to quickly and dramatically increase the production of these inflammatory cytokine chemicals when needed. But perhaps more importantly, we need to be able to control that so that it doesn't get out of balance and that we can return to some kind of a baseline or what we might otherwise call a resting inflammatory state. One more thing about the utility of inflammation. You've heard me speak about the neuroendocrine immune super system before. In fact, I think it was the first, perhaps the second episode that I did when I launched this podcast. So the neuroendocrine immune super system is the central control mechanism that controls every aspect of your health and your well-being, and therefore your quality of life. And I want you to know that your brain and your hormones are intimately connected to your immune system via these inflammatory cytokines. Inflammation modifies your body's response to hormones and helps them to work better. But when inflammation is out of balance and control, it interferes with hormone function. All of the neurons in your brain have receptors for these inflammatory chemicals, which can actually help in normal brain development and normal brain function. But when your inflammation is out of control, it can damage your brain and creates not just short-term problems like brain fog or poor concentration and depression. In the long run, out-of-control inflammation accelerates brain aging and increases the risk of things like dementia and stroke. Obviously, nobody wants to deal with that. So with this neuroendocrine immune super system, your brain uses your immune system and your hormones to control and coordinate every aspect of your metabolic state. And because they're interconnected, if you shift one in an unfavorable way, it has effects on the others. So not only is your immune system and your inflammatory response a cornerstone of health, on the flip side, it can be your worst enemy. All right, let's talk about inflammatory triggers just for a little bit. Again, I've covered this in several other episodes. We start by giving you like a big truth, and that is that life is inflammatory. Everything about life is trying to make you inflamed, whether that is the small amounts of toxins and even potential infections in our food, our water, and our air. In reality, there's not, say, a sip of water or a bite of food that you consume that doesn't have something in it that wants to infect you or poison you, right? So our food supply is full of chemicals in general. It doesn't matter whether it's the emotions and the psychological stresses of life, family, society, the economy, our future. Like I said, pretty much everything about life has the potential to trigger increased inflammation and maybe even worse so, dysregulate your immune response. Again, it's one thing to be temporarily inflamed for a purpose, It's another to be chronically inflamed and dysregulated because something's not working well. We've talked about this before, but chronic stress chemistry cannot be separated from inflammation. In fact, one of the ways that chronic stress impairs your physiology is by affecting how your immune system behaves. So we know that chronic stress and inflammation that comes from that breaks down our barrier systems, right? It prompts the development of things like leaky gut and leaky brain. It depletes your antioxidants so that you lose the ability to protect your cells and your DNA from damage. And it changes what we call feedback loop control so that your brain begins to lose its ability to control and coordinate the functions of the body. So understand again this concept, first and foremost, life is inflammatory every day. And the accumulation of these daily stressors and inflammation triggers over long periods of time is perhaps the single most source, single common most, single most powerful source of poor health. And when I started this series on a functional hierarchy of health to help you sort out what's most important in regaining your quality of life, if you remember, I started out by saying the number one priority is your ability of your cells to make energy. Without energy, your cells can't function. Well, in a very big picture way, the second priority is to control, not eliminate, but control inflammation. And the two are intimately interlinked. Inflammation or inflammatory states decreases energy production by interfering with how your mitochondria behave. Inflammation can damage your mitochondria. And this decreases their ability to produce sufficient energy as they burn things like fats and carbohydrates as your primary fuel source. So you might have available energy sources, but if you're chronically inflamed and your cells can't, your mitochondria specifically can't utilize those fuel sources, you're going to have fatigue. Inflammation also decreases your cells' ability to respond to your free thyroid hormones, which ultimately determines the efficiency of your metabolism. And one of the most common sources or triggers of inflammation is infection. So in the next episode, and this is just a brief introduction to the immune system and inflammation as a functional priority, in the next episode, let's talk about acute and chronic infections with things like viruses or bacteria, parasites, even things like candida. Let's talk about how simple blood testing, specifically your white blood cell count, can give us clues as to if you are infected and with what. And we'll tackle that when we meet again right here on the Inflammation Nation podcast. Thanks for playing your role in this piece of work. And speaking of that, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Make sure to turn on notifications so that you know when new episodes come out. I'll see you next time.